Hello, everybody. I'm Kenneth Copeland, and this is the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. Thank God for Jesus. I said, thank God for Jesus. Yes. Aren't you glad Jesus is Lord and not some fool? Oh, yeah. Amen. Glory to God. I'm really excited about what we're going to be doing all this week. Let's open our Bibles again this evening to our golden text for this three-week series, which is in Galatians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, so that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit, that we might receive what the Spirit has promised Abraham through faith. Now, Father, we thank you for the word. We give you praise and honor. We open our hearts and we open our minds and ears for revelation from heaven. And we give you praise and honor for it in the name of Jesus. Now, you notice, in this one verse, we have mentioned the curse of the law. We have mentioned the blessing of Abraham. And we have mentioned of the promise. Now, we've talked extensively concerning the curse, that we have been redeemed from the curse. Glory to God. And as I mentioned last week and the week before, that I'm sad to say that most Christian people, I'm talking about good people that love God with all their hearts, and you ask them, from what are we redeemed? And you kind of get that, huh? Well, from what are we redeemed? Well, sin, we're redeemed from... it's very plain. We are redeemed from the curse of the law. Amen. And we've spent a lot of good time in there, praise God, and some very, very exciting things. Then we talked extensively about the blessing, beginning with the blessing of Adam. And I made mention several times, and I want to make sure you get this. Once God has introduced something into the earth, the devil can't get it out. Don't ever forget that. Now, he does his best to mess it up. He'll lie about it, you know. I mean, he does his best to act like it's gone, but he can't do it. No. Amen. And the blessing, we know what happened to it. Adam was given... Well, you know the scripture that says, and God created the heavens and the earth and gave it to men, mankind. Gave complete and total authority over all the works of his hands into the hands of the human race. Now, we know what Adam did with it. And he walked away from it and committed high treason, spiritual high treason before God. Now, he had the authority to do it, but he did not have the moral right to do it. Amen. So now, how long is the devil going to be the God of this world? Now, he's not our God, but he's the God of this world. How long? Until Adam's lease is finished. When that's finished, he's finished. Glory to God. Now, that's another wonderful study, but we're not going to go into that tonight. Now then, tonight we're going to talk about the promise. Ooh. Oh, glory be to God. And let's go to Genesis chapter 12, please. Genesis 12. And look at the first three verses. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house into a land that I will show you. Now he didn't show him before he left. No, you have to do that by faith. I will show you and I'll make you a great nation. And I will bless thee and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I'll bless them that bless thee, curse them that curse thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Say blessed.
Yes.
All right, now, let's go to the 22nd chapter of Genesis. Genesis chapter 22. We'll begin with verse 1. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt or prove or tested Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. I like that. He said, Abraham, he said, yes, sir, I'm here. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac. Underline that if you would, please. Your only son, whom thou lovest. Get thee into the land of Moriah. Offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell of thee. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him. You notice he didn't argue. He didn't talk back to God. What do you want me to do? No, no, that's what they do in the movies. That didn't happen. And we'll see it, prove it. Took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, clave the wood for the burnt offering, rose up and went into the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. Abraham said unto his young men, now look what he said. Now remember, Abraham is a faith man. He already has, an absolute promise of God and fact from God about the future of this young man. He said to the young men, abide ye here with the donkey, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. We're going to be back. Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, my father. He said, here am I, my son. He said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for the burnt offering. So they went both of them together. They came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order, bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. Now that says a whole lot for his son. He didn't argue with his dad. He trusted him. He trusted him. And through him, he trusted God. That's some good raising had gone on there, right? So, now follow this. Abraham stretched forth his hand, took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram, offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and has not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven and as the land which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies, and thy seed shall all the nations of earth be blessed because thou hast obeyed my voice. I want you to notice what he said. I swear to you, by myself, I can't swear. There's not anybody any bigger than me. So I swear by myself that I keep the words of this covenant between you and me. I swear it to you. If I lie to you one time, if I fail to keep this covenant, I will destroy myself. Wow. Somebody say amen. Amen. Praise God. Now, quickly to the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews. Oh, praise God. Hebrews chapter 11. And I want you to notice the 17th through the 19th verses. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried or proved, offered up Isaac, and he that received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Look at the 19th verse. Accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. He'd already seen it. I think he was a little bit disappointed. He fully intended to see God. He intended to plunge that knife into that boy. He intended to burn him as a sacrifice, and he intended to see God raise him up out of those ashes. And God said, I swear to you by myself, I'm a covenant faithful God. Amen. Now, that covenant sacrifice in the blood of that ram, that was the holy sacrifice that ram took the place of Isaac. And this was an amazing sacrifice. That ram took the place of Isaac. Why? Why would God do such a thing as that? Why would he bind himself? What is the eternal motive behind this? God knew that the day is coming when his own son would pray, if there's any way, take this cup from me. And God, if his son, covenant son Abraham, could offer his only begotten son, then by covenant he couldn't withhold his. Oh, that's the reason that holy moment, that the sacrifice of that ram, that ram's blood, that was such a precious moment. Can you see that? But listen to what God said. I want you to, I swear to you, this is the Almighty God Himself. I swear to you. I can swear by no greater. So I swear by myself. I swear I will keep this covenant. Oh, glory to God. Oh, glory to God. I said, oh, glory to God. Glory be to Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. All right. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 13. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely, see the word surely? This is an absolute surety. Surely, blessing I will bless thee. Multiplying, I'll multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured and obtained the promise, for men verily swear by the greater, and an oath, a blood sworn oath. Do you see what God did? He swore in the blood of that ram. You see it? He swore in the blood of that ram. And he said, for men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife or argument. Once there is a covenant confirming, and we're talking about a blood oath here, you understand? Then the argument about the thing is over. God settled that forever. He can't break this thing. I don't care if it is in the blood of an animal. He swore. I'm very eagerly doing my best to get this over to you. The gravity of it. Listen, this is God. He doesn't just go around swearing stuff to people. What's he doing anyway? The very moment that Adam did what he did, God set out to get him back. He set out to get Jesus into this earth, and glory be to God. Hallelujah. Amen. That's the reason he went to such length to get it across to those people that I have made a way for you to give them under this curse. Then his lamb destroyed it. Whew, glory to God. Oh, that'll cause you to dance around. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, glory be to God. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. Wherein, now we'll I'll get this in right now, and then tomorrow we'll take it up here. God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise. That's me. That's you. The heirs of promise, the immutability, the unchangeableness of his counsel, confirming it with an oath. Let's go back over there once again in Genesis 22 and then in the book of Hebrews chapter 11. This is when God told Abraham in Genesis 22, he said, now you take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, get thee into the land of Moriah and offer him as a burnt offering. Offer him as a sacrifice. Abraham rose up early in the morning, saddled the donkey, and took two of his young men and Isaac his son, and left town. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. Now listen to what he said to his young men. Abide you here with the donkey, and I and the lad will go yonder, worship, and we'll come again. We'll be back. This was not bothering him a bit. He already had a word from God. He already knew this boy's future. And he believed God. The scripture said Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him as righteousness. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. And, of course, you know what happened. And he took the wood of the burnt offering, laid it on Isaac and his hand and his knife, and they went both of them together. And they came to the place, verse 9, which God told him of, and Abraham built an altar there, laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him upon the wood. Abraham stretched forth his hand, took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. He said, here am I. And he said, lay not thine hand on the lad, neither do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Abraham lifted up his eyes, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. Now Abraham offered that ram as a sacrifice. Now this, one of the most important moments in the entire Bible. Now notice this. The angel of the Lord called out of heaven the second time and said, "By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord." He is swearing. This is God the Almighty, God Himself, swearing to a man. Amen. Swearing in the blood of a ram that God Himself provided. Amen. "I have sworn, saith the Lord, because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, multiplying I'll multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven, and in as the sand is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed." Whoa, he settled it forever. Glory to God. There's no way to stop this thing now. God has sworn by himself. For him not to be a faithful covenant partner, he would have to destroy himself. And if he did that, then it would just go into total nothingness. But we know that's not going to happen. Now let's quickly get back over here in the book of Hebrews. And let's look at it again in the 11th chapter, in the 17th verse. "By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it is said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called." Now see there? He knew that. He knew that in Isaac thy seed shall be called. He was not the least bit sweating that Isaac is in any form going to stay dead. And it says right there, accounting. Now, this is a very, very strong, forgive me, I'm shouting, but I don't want to stop shouting, okay? Hallelujah, I'm so excited. If I was doing on the outside what I'm doing on the inside, I couldn't slow down enough to preach this. Glory to God. Accounting. That God was able to raise him up, even from the dead. From whence? From the dead also he received him in a figure. Now that is a faith lesson that should be studied. We need to be walking according to the scripture in the steps of our father Abraham. I just can't believe you told me to go do that. I just can't go there. I just can't. Well, you just don't care. That's what's the matter here. This is. Oh, shut up. You act like people that act like that. No, you don't. Well, most of you don't. No. I've acted just the same, stupid. Amen. You know what that's acting like? That God doesn't qualify to be Lord and leader and your guide and your father. There's something wrong with him. Something wrong with his plan. Now, come on. That is pure baby stuff. And it is time to get over it. I learned that from Gloria Jean Copeland. Oh, how many times over the years, the kids and all the rest of them, she'd say, "Well, get over it." Yeah, but well, just get over it. Amen. Get by that. Praise God. God knows what he's doing. And if he calls you to go somewhere, he calls you to do something, Right then is when you say, here I am, Lord. Now, it may look like this thing is going to kill me. I can't physically overcome this. What kind of a God? If you'll obey him, it'll be the very thing that'll heal you. It'll be the very thing that'll get you out of that place where it looks like you're so exhausted you can't do it. Yes, you can. If he said you can't, then you can. Hallelujah. Now, it may take some changes and all of that, but what you need to do is just be like our father Abraham. Here I am, Lord. And Kenneth got up early in the morning and departed. Yeah. But yeah, but Ben Cooper, that's hard. I don't think I want to spend any time with that. If it is easy, everybody'd be doing it. It's the blessed. It's the heirs of the promise that get up early in the morning, glory to God, and get before the Lord Jesus and say, I'm here, Lord. What would you have me to do today? How can I bless you today? Where do you want me to go today? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Now then, let's go back in here now. In this sixth chapter of Hebrews, now that we're flowing now in this promise, God's blood sworn oath. Say it, God's blood sworn oath. Praise God. Hebrews 6:13, God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, multiplying I will multiply thee. So after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. May I remind you that patience is one of the fruit of the Spirit. Look at it. He patiently endured. That's what the fruit of patience is. It is spiritual endurance. Now, the world's natural idea of patience is, well, I just have to put up with everything that God's putting on me. No. The fruit of patience, long suffering, King James translation says. That's when you make you stand and stay with it. Glory to God. God said it and I believe it and that settles it. Praise God. This is it right here. I have his promise. I have his oath. Glory to God. And I choose to believe it. Now, you remember we talked about Deuteronomy 30:19, and Brother Greg referred to that tonight, and that whole thing I placed before you, life and death, blessing and cursing. That was a huge display. It was just a gorgeous thing all out in between these two mountains. Now, but notice what he said, you choose. You choose. I had the flu really, really bad. I had taken Gloria to the cleaners, and I was just sitting out in front of the cleaners while she was in there getting clothes. And I thought, when she gets out of here, I'm going to let her drive home. I'm just too sick to drive. And this was before we had ever gotten into the Word of Faith. This was back in the years, actually before we ever even went to ORU. Never heard the Word of Faith. But the Spirit of God led me in that direction. I had my Bible laying there on the steering wheel of the car, open to 1 Peter 2:24. And all of a sudden, I said, "Father," and I held my Bible up like this. I said, "I choose to believe this." And I read 1 Peter 2:24. "He bore my sins in his own body on the tree, that I, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes I was healed." And I want to thank you for it. I choose to believe that. I was hurting. I mean, even my hair hurt. I was just sick, you know. By the time she got out of the cleaner and got in the car, I was feeling better. By the time we got home, I thought, "Well, yeah, this is a good thing." And by the time she got supper ready, I wasn't all that hungry, but I thought, "Well, I believe I'll sit down here and eat a little bit." The next morning, every symptom's gone. What happened? I made a choice. I made an on-purpose choice of faith. I choose to believe this. I choose to do what my God has called me to do. In Jesus' name. He's sworn his oath to me. And praise God, I've sworn mine to him. Come on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. How much time do I have, Tim? Now then, notice what he said. "For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them the end of all strife or argument, wherein God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability, the absolute unchangeableness of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath." Say, blood sworn oath. "That by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation." The words translated consolation there mean courage, strong courage, inner strength, or the inner, this, once you understand what I'm reading from his word, "By his stripes ye were healed," that's not even a promise. That is a Bible fact that has already happened, and it belongs to me. But how strong it becomes, how the courage that it builds on the inside of me when I realize, whoa, God swore to these things. Now get this. That impossible for God to lie. Two immutable things. Think about it. Two immutable things. The oath and the promise. The blood or the wine. The body or the bread. Remember Melchizedek came to Abram with the bread and the wine, and he blessed him. He's showing covenant with him, and he called him possessor of heaven and earth. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now, get this. "Who have strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope that is set before us." Say, hope.
Hope.
What is the substance of things hoped for? What? Faith. Right here in the book of Hebrews, right? You'll find it in the 11th chapter. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Now notice this. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul to anchor your emotions. Abraham's emotions were completely anchored in the promise of God. He didn't get emotional about sacrificing that boy. Not in the least. Amen. He'd already dealt with that. Hallelujah. And already could see it in himself. He could see an inner vision of this young man raising up from the dead. Hallelujah. Right out of the ashes. Glory to God. Now listen. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which the hope now entereth into that within the veil. Do you know where he's talking about? He's talking about the holiest place in this universe. He's talking about the very holy presence of the Almighty God. He's talking about the Holy of Holies. Glory to God. Now that place, where the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus. Chapter 9, verse 12. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Verse 14, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God. He went into that place. He went into that holy of holies. Raised from the dead. Raised from the dead. He had been made sin. He went to hell and he won an awesome combat. Glory to God. And he presented himself before the Father. Now listen to me. He presented himself without spot. Woo! And ratified our eternal redemption from the curse. And, are you listening to me? Where God swore to Abraham in the blood of a ram, God swore to Jesus and swore to him every word of the New Testament. Every word of it. Every word of it. He swore it to him. I am your God, and I swear by myself in your blood. Oh, Jesus. Whew. Now we're talking about the sworn oath of God, where in the 22nd chapter of Genesis, Abraham about to plunge that knife into Isaac, and God stopped him and said, no, I swear to you My goodness. Well, let's go back over there and read it. The Lord won't let me. Now, of course, there was a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And God, when Abraham sacrificed that ram, the blood, God swore in the blood of that ram by myself, 16th verse, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, in blessing I will bless thee, in multiplying I'll multiply your seed as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you've obeyed my voice. He swore to him. Now, that just simply meant, if I am an unfaithful covenant partner, then I'll just self-destruct. I mean, this is strong. This is strong as it can possibly be. Now then, we came over here to the book of Hebrews. And we found out that in the 11th chapter, the 17th, 18th, 19th verses, that Abraham wasn't the least bit upset about sacrificing Isaac, because he had seen a vision of it. He fully intended to see him raised up from the dead, out of ashes, because he already had God's word about this boy, about his son. Amen. And Abraham's a man of faith. Glory to God. Now then, in the 6th chapter of Hebrews, let's go back to this. We're still talking about this blood sworn oath in the blood of that ram. Now, it's very important that you realize God provided that ram. You remember Isaac said, Daddy, where's the sacrifice? He said, God will provide. Everything will be all right. Amen. And it just thrills me. I mean, Isaac just crawled up there on that altar. Just let his daddy just tie him down and climb up there and watched him raise that knife. And he just lay there. Why? He trusted his dad. Amen. And through the teaching of his dad, he trusted God. Praise God. Amen. Now then, in the 6th chapter of Hebrews, verse 13, for God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I'll bless you, and multiplying I'll multiply you. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Now, it's extremely important to understand that. We, as faith people, praise God, we need to learn a lot more about Ephesians 6. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having on the full armor of God. Glory to God. Just take a victory stand and don't be moved. Amen. And just keep the joy of the Lord in your mouth all the time. Ha, 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 ha. And the devil will finally say, what are you laughing about? And you just tell him, I'm laughing at you. Come here telling me I'm not going to get my healing. Glory to God. Ha, 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 ha. Tell me my baby's not going to be healed. Ha, ha, ha. God swore an oath to me, Mr. Devil. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, glory to God. Verse 17. God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, the absolute unchangeableness of his counsel. His words are forever words. His words are filled with power. When Peter said, if it be you, Lord, bid me come, Jesus said, come. And Peter didn't walk on the water. He walked on the word, come. The power in that word. Come on. Can you see it? Come to the place where when you read, go into all the world, preach this gospel to every creature, and these signs shall follow them that believe. That's a blood-sworn oath. They will follow. Do you hear what I said? It has to get that real. That's part of his oath to you and me. Hallelujah. Now get this. Confirmed it by an oath. I wrote in my Bible right there, blood sworn. That by two immutable things, two unchangeable things, in which it's impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong inner strength, strong inner courage. You see, when you come to, when you get into these kind of things, and you begin to realize that the price that God paid, and what he did, and what he said, and what he's done for us, and whoa. And it just gets bigger and stronger on the inside. And you get to that place where Abraham was fully persuaded. Fully persuaded. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And you get to that glorious, wonderful place where, I mean, all the symptoms may still be there, but you get to where you just flat don't care. Amen. And you get so excited about it and you look up and the symptoms are gone. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. That we may have a strong and inner strength who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope that's set before it. I lay hold on that hope. Which hope we have as an anchor of the mind, the will, and the emotions, both sure and steadfast, which enters into that within the veil. That hope is there right now. This very hope that he's talking about, this very hope in this covenant, this that God can't lie. I mean, it is there. That hope is standing right in the face of God behind that veil in the holiest place that exists anywhere. That hope belongs to you. That hope belongs to me. It is right there crying out to God. That hope, praise God, that we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which enters into that within the veil, where the forerunner, Jesus, entered, made a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. He went in there, and you can see it right here in this ninth chapter of, of the book of Hebrews. You need to read the book of Hebrews just straight through sometime without the numbers. Amen. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. And if the blood of bulls and goats, the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctify to the purifying of the flesh, how much more? Say it with me. How much more? How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? For he is the mediator of the new covenant. He's the mediator of the new covenant. There is one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all to be testified of in due time. Woo, glory to God. Standing right there in that place. Offered himself. And the scene between God, Abraham, and Isaac in the blood of a ram was reenacted. Oh, glory be to God. And the Almighty God. It just started right there in the first chapter of the book of Hebrews. And he said, God, he called him God. Talking to Jesus. Amen. The firstborn from the dead. Hallelujah. And then standing right there in that holy place, he was judged. He had to be judged. What he did had to be judged. He's a man. Jesus is still a man. He came into this earth as a man. He didn't go back to heaven and turn into something else. No. He's a man. He's a born again, Holy Ghost baptized, anointed man. Glorified. We get everything he got. Our day is almost here. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. And he stood right there, judged spotless, judged victorious, judged and called God, the Lord, Advocate, General, High Priest of the Church. Whoa, hallelujah. And God swore every word of the new covenant. He swore every word of it to him. I am your God, and I will be a God to you forever and ever. And by your stripes, they are healed. The curse is forever destroyed. He had to swear this to Jesus before it could be written in this book, or that book wouldn't be complete. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. You're laying there with problems with your heart. Maybe a diagnosis of some kind that's is painful and it's bothering you. Jesus, God Almighty, swore to Jesus on himself and in Jesus' own holy blood that your heart is healed. That there is no way when your faith reaches behind the veil and grabs that hope, there is no way your heart can stay sick. There is no way cancer can stand up against that. Glory to God. But not knowing these things, believing the lies of the devil. Well, maybe God wanted me to learn something out of this. Maybe, you know, no. By his own sworn oath, that's an impossibility. Thank you, Jesus. You get your mind on God. Swearing to you. You get your heart and mind on God swearing to you. See, he has sworn to the entire human race. If you will believe in your heart that I raised Jesus from the dead, you will be a new creature. If you'll confess him with your mouth. He swore it. Well, you just don't know what I did. Forget what you did. That's what you used to be. That's not who you are now. Oh, that's who you used to be, darling. That's not you now. God swore to you, you're a new creature. He swore a blood-sworn oath. It's recorded in heaven in the holiest place there is. Hallelujah. Now, let me tell you something else. How much time I got there? Whether you know it or not, or whether it's crossed your mind today or not, you and I are seated in that holy place. The throne of his grace. Seated there, God, Jesus at his right hand, and you and I at the right hand of Jesus, our high priest. Oh, we are kings and priests. He's the high priest. Oh, Jesus, we are kings. Jesus is King of Kings. We're the kings over which he's king. Come on, get it. Come on, boy. Come on, girl. Get it. Hang on there. Take a grip on this. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, bless the Lord, bless the Lord, bless the Lord, oh my soul. Bless his holy name. Oh, glory be to God forevermore. Thank you, Lord Jesus. For this cause, he's the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgression, that there were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. God wrote his last will and testament. And Jesus died. But he didn't stay dead. And we're the heirs. Sometimes you need to read the will. Because he swore this will. He swore it in blood. That's more than just swearing it and writing your name on a piece of paper before a lawyer or a judge. The judge of all judges. Amen? Amen. Jesus. Oh, yeah. He died. We inherited. Then he was raised from the dead to probate his own will. Yeah. And he has sworn that it belongs to you. He has sworn it in his own blood. That will was read in heaven. That will was read, glory to God, right there in the Holy of Holies. And God swore it to Jesus. That whole will is settled forever. It is settled. We are the joint heirs of that will. We've talked about, to some extent now, the promise, the blood sworn oath of God, the last will and testament of God Almighty. And at the death of his son, that testament was read. Hallelujah. But thank God he didn't stay dead. Amen. He is raised from the dead. And now you and all of the body of Christ, you, me, all the rest of us, joint heirs with Christ Jesus. Come on. Joint heirs with Christ Jesus. Joint heirs in authority, joint heirs in wealth, joint heirs in being redeemed from the curse. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Everything Jesus got, we get. He got a glorified body. Ours is on the way. Amen. Even right down to the point where we have available to us the same anointing that was on his mind when he was ministering here in the earth and is still on his mind today. We have the mind of Christ. And for those that are watching online that maybe have not studied this before, Christ is not a title. Christ is the Greek translation of the Hebrew word Messiah. The Hebrew word Messiah is the anointed. Amen. Now you remember Jesus in the 4th chapter of Luke preached and said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to preach the gospel." He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Now, Jesus preached the gospel all the way through his earthly ministry. He never did preach the curse. He preached the gospel. Go with me now back to the book of Galatians, please. Thank you, Lord. In that third chapter. Now, we began week before last, and then last week and this week, our golden text has been Galatians chapter 3, starting with the 13th verse. Let's back up now in this session to the 8th verse. Now, we've been talking about the promise, the blood sworn oath of God. Hallelujah. By himself he swore to Abraham in the blood of a ram. And then by the blood of Jesus he swore in the book of Hebrews, thy throne, O God, is forever. Talking to Jesus. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? All right, now, let's back up here to let's read verse 7. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Say, that would be me. And the scripture. Remember this verse? In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same in the beginning with God. Remember that? The scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. That's the gospel. And he comes right on down here. So then there be a faith of blessed with faithful Abraham. And he comes right on in. We've been redeemed from the curse. So that's the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now let's go back over here to Luke chapter 4. And let's apply this. Verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Poverty is part of the curse. The curse is threefold: spiritual death, sickness, and poverty. Redemption is threefold: spiritual life, the new birth, healing, and prosperity. Prosperity in all realms of human life. To prosper spirit, soul, body, financially, and socially. Glory to God. That's true prosperity. Which, of course, includes financial prosperity. So, can you see it? That's the gospel. This very word was sworn to Jesus when he was standing spotless in the Holy of Holies, being judged by God. Hallelujah. These very words were spoken unto him. Now, he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive. What is he preaching? Redeemed from the curse. He's preaching to them, Hey, poor man, you don't have to be poor anymore. I'm here. I'm here. You don't have to be poor anymore. I'm your Jubilee. Hallelujah. If you'll believe what I preach, you'll receive. Well, there at Nazareth, they didn't believe it. They didn't get anything. But other places, they did believe it. And great, marvelous things happened because of that anointing. What? The gospel. The gospel. The very sworn oath of God. To preach deliverance to the captive. recovery of sight to the blind. Blindness is a curse of the law. You can go right there, the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy, and you can find blindness specifically written in that curse. It is a curse of the law. But he's preaching recovery of sight, which is the blessing. Oh, come on now. Come on. Hey, come on, come on. Anybody in here with me tonight? Come on. Yeah. Amen. Thank you, Lord. To set at liberty them that are bruised and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord, which everybody there knew and understood. He's talking about the great jubilee. He's talking about supernatural debt cancellation. Glory to God. The gospel. All of this. All of this. Everything he's talking about. God swore an oath to Abraham in the blood of that ram. He swore by himself because he could swear by no higher. And Jesus, can you see this? Jesus is standing right there. In fact, we can prove it by Scripture. 10th chapter of the book of Acts, that he preached this same message from Isaiah 61 everywhere he went. It's right there in the 10th chapter of Acts that he published it throughout all Judea. Now, he appeared to Kenneth Hagin in 1950 in Rockwall, Texas. And one of the things that he talked to him about was the fact, he said, now people thought, and Brother Hagin said, I even preached this, that he just went in wherever he went and just healed everybody to prove his deity. Well, if that's true, he really blew it there at Nazareth. Huh? Got run out of town. Amen. But then that's when he told Brother Hagin, he said, I preached this same message everywhere I went before I got into anything else because they needed to hear me say, I am anointed to minister to you. I am anointed to take this curse off of you. They needed to hear him say that because faith cometh by hearing. And where he preached that, you know, the Bible didn't say he healed them all. There were certain places he healed them all. But he did heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. There were, people were healed by the multitudes. But there were people that didn't get anything. I mean, that's just what the Bible says. Then there were cases where he just healed them all. What does that mean? Well, glory to God, they believed what he preached. Faith came and they took it. Amen. Just like the woman with the issue of blood. He said, daughter, your faith made you whole. Well, she heard of Jesus. Well, you ain't know it was the word she heard because faith came. Amen. We know that. Praise God. Are you following me now?
Yes.
This is the gospel, the blessing. Go back over there and look at it now. In Galatians again. I'm going somewhere with this. And you're going to be glad when we get there. The scripture foreseeing. So this is God through the word preaching to Abraham. Amen. The scripture preached before the gospel unto Abraham saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Verse 11, that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Hallelujah. And the stronger the inner consolation is, the more powerful, this blood sworn oath of God becomes primary in your life and in your thinking and in your mind, and you begin to walk in it. This is the element. Go to the fifth chapter of the book of Hebrews. We talked about from the sixth chapter this blood sworn oath. But now notice this. In verse 12, for when the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he's a baby. Now, there's nothing in itself wrong with that, because the scripture said, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Nobody's born again a full-grown Christian any more than a little baby is born, you know, grown and up walking around. They have to be nurtured and grow. Well, the same thing is true spiritually. Strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use or practice or exercise have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And he goes right into that sixth chapter talking about, surely blessing I will bless thee, multiplying I'll multiply thee, God willing more abundantly. Do you see? Hey. This is growing up into him. And you come to that place where little baby stuff doesn't get to you anymore. You don't just sit around and feel sorry for yourself and cry and whine. I don't know why God doesn't do something about this. He's done something about it. There is a blood sworn oath with your name on it. Let's grow up into him. Amen. Growing up. Coming to that place, just stand strong. Just stay there in the word, becoming stronger and stronger and stronger every day. Just praise God in the blood and in the name and in his very presence. Begin to practice his presence. Say, Lord, I know you did that. Oh, help me, Jesus. Show it to me again, sir. And just see yourself just sitting there at his feet. Show it to me again, Jesus. Show me when you're standing in front of God and without spot and without wrinkle. And then get back over there in the book of Hebrews and read it again. Oh, show me again, Jesus. Open the eyes of my understanding. Flood my heart with light concerning your resurrection from the dead and concerning these wonderful things. I'm growing. Amen. Come on. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory be to God. Yes. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Now, I would like, somebody got an Amplified Classic translation handy? I want to see that Luke 4:18. Ooh, that looks just like mine. About the same shape as mine, too. Used up. Hang on, George. I want to read this to you. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me, the Anointed One, the Messiah, to preach the good news, the gospel, to the poor. He has sent me to announce the release to the captive and recovery of sight to the blind, to send forth as delivered, to send forth as delivered those who are oppressed, who are downtrodden, bruised, crushed, and broken down by calamity, to proclaim the accepted and acceptable year of the Lord, the day when salvation and the free favors of God profusely abound. Whoa! Hallelujah!
Praise God.
Glory, glory, glory. And that day is coming. It is profusely abounding. Hallelujah. In us and around us and because of us. Hallelujah. We're preaching it and teaching it and standing on it and growing up into it. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Just pray with me in the Spirit here just for a moment. Prahed Gidu, La Clanshdek Eflatopropohomatino, El Regelesto, Glastavra Metino Neke e Padaralo Kumbubri Biki Kiki Takla. Zlasteke, Chris, Barondo, Brikdiknak, La Koda, La Pachonanak. These things have always been available. But your enemy, the devil, has worked night and day to religiously cover these things and replace them with the idea that my will could never be that you walk free from sin, sickness, demons, and fear. That you be free and completely free from poverty. But the ideas that men have gathered up with religious thinking and with mental attempts to answer spiritual problems, such as money problems, poverty is not a money problem. Poverty is a problem with the curse. But you have been redeemed from the curse of the law. So rejoice and walk in it, saith the Lord. For your day and your hour has come, and things will work now far more abundantly than they ever have in the past. That's what I said in tongues. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Galatians 3:13. Christ, the Anointed One, by his anointing, has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. So that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now then, let's read, beginning with the 26th verse. For you are all the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be in Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Glory to God. Heirs according to that blood sworn oath. Hallelujah. That we studied this week and that has just come alive in this place today. Hallelujah. We are the beneficiaries. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I'm going to read that again. And if you be in Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now, I want to read you something here. We read in that 14th verse that by faith we received the promise, or what the Spirit promised, and we went through that, all of that, those wonderful things about the promise. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men. Though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, and of course we know it had been confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto. I want you to get this 16th verse. Now to Abraham and his seed. And if you be in Christ, then are you Abraham's seed. Now I want you to get this now. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds, as of many, or plural. You get that? Yes, sir. He saith not, and to seeds, as of many, but as of one, to thy seed, which is Christ. Nineteenth verse, wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. And it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Is the law then against the promise of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which had given life, verily righteousness had come in by the law. But the scripture hath concluded, all understand that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. Now, I wanted you to see this. Jesus is the one He's the seed to whom the promise was made. When God was talking to Abraham in the blood of the ram, he was talking to Jesus. That's the type. He was talking to Jesus. Hallelujah. Now I want you to see it. You better fasten your seatbelt. Oh, buckle her up. No, unbuckle it. If you be in Christ, then are you Abraham's seed. Not plural. Oh, she said, yeah, me too. That promise to Jesus, he walked on it, he preached it. Every miracle, every person raised from the dead, every sickness healed, every miracle, the fish, the loaves, everything, every bit of it, all of it. He was functioning as the seed of Abraham. And it was that covenant that raised the dead. It was that covenant that stilled the sea. It was that covenant promise. And you and I have the very same covenant promise, and it is just as singular to you. It is just as singular to me. The water and the wind will hear you just as well as he heard Jesus. When we finally get to that place where we begin to say, yes, glory to God. Yeah, but Brother Copeland, I spoke to the wind to see and it didn't quit. Well, what'd you quit speaking for? Now, I don't mean you just, I bet you, hey, stand up and take your place. Peter could have done it. Either that or Jesus was falsely accusing him. Because he said, where's your faith? Because he'd already said, let's go to the other side. Now the power was in that. Peter could have stood up there and said, in the name of my master, I'm not going to wake him up. He needs his rest. We're going to the other side if we have to walk. Now wind, shut up. Water, be still. It would have worked for him just the same as it did Jesus, because Peter was the seed of Abraham. Chosen by Jesus on his own staff. Hallelujah. So what are we going to do? Oh, I'll tell you what. I've got finishing moments here that the Lord set before me. We are dealing with the law Amen. What was happening out there on that mountainside? One group on one mountain, one on the other. I call heaven and earth a record before you this day that I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. All right. We are dealing with the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And we are dealing with the law of sin and death. They don't cross one another. Jesus, talking about those very same laws, said, "The thief cometh but for to steal, to kill, and destroy. He is at the head of the law of sin and death." That's his territory. He can't get out of that territory. That's him. He's the spirit of fear. He's the spirit of death. He's the spirit of darkness. He's the spirit of the curse. He's the God of this natural world. Amen. Glory to God. Are you listening to me?
Yes.
Praise God. The law, say law, of sin and death. Now, at the top of that law, under Satan himself, is the force of fear. Fear is the faith of the law of sin and death. Satan cannot do anything to you apart from fear, any more than God can do something for you apart from faith. For the law of the Spirit of life was here first. That's what was here in the beginning. And then Adam transgressed that law. And when he did, everything about it was reversed. I'll do my best in what little time I have left to illustrate this to you. It's the law of reciprocals. Now, just in the natural world, let's say, just for illustration purposes, let's say that that is north and that is south. Now, I know it isn't, but I'm not trying to point for real. This is illustration, all right? Now, both north and south are the same thing in that they are directions of the compass. But in every other way, they are exact opposites. Are you following me? When Adam fell, the law of the Spirit of life was in complete authority, absolute authority. What happened to him? In this direction, everything was perfect. But by an act of his own will. Now, when he was here, He was connected to God. They were one in the Spirit. Now, I'll interrupt us just for a moment and remind you that the Bible says that the born again, the new creature, is one with the Spirit. Hallelujah. We've been replugged. Amen. As long as he was like this, he and God were one. Thank you, Lord. But when he did this, spiritual death. Spiritual death, it's not physical death. Spiritual death, see, he died spiritually that day. He lived physically over 900 years. But he died spiritually that day. What does that mean? He was separated from God's Spirit on that day. The very life of God was gone out of his spirit. Even though he had a covenant relationship with God, it was far less than what he had before. Are you following me? The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Oh, glory to God. Has what? Made me free. Oh, glory to God. The law. Say it with me. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Woo! Glory to God. Hallelujah. And you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free, Jesus. Hallelujah. He said, continue ye in my word, and you'll be my disciples indeed, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Hallelujah. Glory. Glory. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Under the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, there is now no condemnation. No condemnation. Started to read my Bible and it's all the way down here. Romans chapter 8. There is therefore now. Say now.
Now.
Now. Now. You can't say now a while ago. Every time you say now, it's now. Right now. Right now. Right now. There is now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Now, turn with me to the book of Mark, and let's take a look at the law of sin and death. Of course, there's a lot of other scriptures we could go to, but we're short on time. We'll use this. The 16th chapter of Mark's gospel. Go ye, 15th verse, into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Watch. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned or condemned. Condemnation. Can you see it? It's very plain. That's the reason he said this in the first place. Get out there and do something about this. Get them free from that law of sin and death. Preach this gospel. Just keep preaching it, praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Under the law of the Spirit of life is the blessing. Oh, hallelujah. And we've talked about the blessing and the promise. This is all under the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. The law of the Spirit of life, glory to God, in Christ Jesus. The good shepherd in John 10:10. The thief cometh but for to steal, to kill and destroy. That's under the law of sin and death. But I have come. I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. How are we, Tim, on time? What have we got? Just these last couple of minutes here. Glory to God. I pray for you. I pray with you. I stand with you and all of you online, all of you on the network, all of you watching by any means tonight. I stand with you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, if you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, do it right now. Just say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Take my life and do something with it. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. I repent of sin. I repent of all of the past and roll all the care of it over on you, Jesus. You're my future and I love you. Fill me now with your precious Holy Spirit. I receive him in the name of Jesus. Thank you. I'm born again, filled with the Spirit by faith. Now give him praise. Somebody just walked out of the law of sin and death and stepped boldly into the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Well, how about it? Thank you, Lord. We'll be back in just a moment.
What is redemption? It's spiritual life, new life, being born again, a new creature, healed and prosperous. The Path to Redemption by Kenneth Copeland is an all-encompassing, relevant 15-message series on being redeemed from the curse of the law, receiving the blessing of the Lord, and inheriting the promise of God. Jesus redeemed you from the curse of the law so you can live healed, prosperous, and free. Every word in the Bible, every promise, is a covenant for you. Train yourself to speak His truth and stay on the blessing side of life. Live in the blessing, where you are called to be a child of God. Take the blessing of the Lord and live in strength and joy. You have a covenant with God that gives you the same authority as Jesus. Receive the promise of God by faith. See yourself and those around you prospering, living right, and healed. Build, expect, and see the blessing and walk the path to redemption.
Begin to truly live in all God has provided for you because of redemption. Go to kcm.org/TV special or call 800-600-7395 and request your free copy of The Path to Redemption on MP3 disc, DVD, or as a digital download from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Offer good for 60 days. Outside the United States, shipping charges may apply. Contact your regional office for more information.
We've been learning how God has made a way for us to come out from under the curse and live a blessed life. Well, that starts by choosing Jesus, receiving Him as your Lord and Savior today. This is not like joining a country club or you just get a new community. Uh-uh. You get a real live Jesus, the Word says, in Him we live and we move and we have our being. He is everything, everything. The Word says He knows every way we've been tempted. He came as a man. He lived life here just like you and I. So He knows how to help us. That's what the Word says. And you can trust Him. You can talk to Him. So pray with me and accept Him into your heart. Say, Father, thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross for me. Say, Jesus, come into my heart. I accept you as my Lord and my Savior. I give you my life today. Do something with it. In Jesus' name, amen. You are now, yes, you're part of a new community called God's Family, but there's a Jesus on the inside of you to talk to. When you're done watching this, I want you to talk to him and get to know him by spending time with him. And to help you learn more, Kenneth Copeland Ministries has a free salvation package, a book that's called He Did It All For You, also some information that's going to help you start reading and studying your Bible and learning more about this Jesus that lives on the inside of you and what he did for you. So to request your free salvation package, go to kcm.org.
Come to a Kenneth Copeland Ministries event. May 25th through June 4th, join Pastors George and Terry Pearsons for Kenneth Copeland Ministries' first ever Israel tour. June 6th through 8th, join Kenneth Copeland and Jerry Savelle at the Sacramento Victory Campaign at the Calvary Christian Center in Sacramento, California, USA. July 22nd through 27th, attend Southwest Believers Convention at the Convention Center in Fort Worth, Texas, USA. For more information, go to kcm.org/events.
Well, today is offering day on the Believer's Voice of Victory, and I want to just point us to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. This is a scripture that we use often. I use often to believe God for my offering for seed. But I want to skip down to this little part that says on verse 11, you will be enriched in every way so you can always be generous. And when we take your gifts to those who need them, they will thank God. So two good things result from this ministry of giving. The needs of the believers in Jerusalem will be met, and they will joyfully express their thanks to God. So I want to do that second part. When you sow your offering, needs are met all around the world. But I today want to do that second part and express our thanks, my parents' thanks, the ministry's thanks, that you would join, and Jesus's thanks, because you've joined this mission to preach the gospel from the top of the world to the bottom and all the way around the middle, that Jesus is Lord, that his word is true. You've done that today when you sow a seed. So I just want to thank you. Thank you, partners. Thank you, friends, for joining us in preaching this gospel, because it's changing people's lives. You know, I hear all the time, I just want to sow because I want somebody else to know what I found out about when my life was changed. This is Kelly Copeland reminding you, God loves you, we love you, and Jesus is Lord.
Kenneth Copeland Ministries has an exciting way for you to give and become a part of what God is doing. Text the letters KCM and the amount you'd like to give to 36609. Text to give is available in the U.S. only.